The Last Photograph by Emma Chapman. Read by Rick Jerram. He walks into the living room and June is dead. No soft movement across her chest. No quivering eyelid. The sunlight from the window catches her lashes and graying blonde hair. Her painted red nails rest on the arm of the faded chair. He centers her, checking the light. Focusing, he clicks the shutter. He'll ask himself later if he knew. Now, it's easier for him to think that he is acting without thinking, out of instinct. Rook had been out that morning as usual, across the fields, through the woodland, despite the rain. He lay for a long time on the damp ground, pointing his camera up, through the bark, towards the white sky, until his bones ached. When a branch snapped, he jumped, despite himself. He returns to find the house quiet. No gentle movements in the kitchen. A knife on a board, the scrape of china as she pulls a plate out of the cupboard. She'll be at a WI meeting, a community forum. She'll be back before one to prepare his lunch. But when he walks into the front room, he sees her straight away, in her old armchair, the Radio Times across her lap. After he takes the photograph, he sits down in the other chair, watching her. Eventually he steps across the sun-marked carpet to the whiskey decanter and pours himself a drink. When he's finished his glass, he rests his shaking fingers on her inner wrist, smooth like a polished pebble. Nothing. What do you do when your wife dies? He calls an ambulance.
"What's your emergency?"
crackles the voice on the line. "It's a little late for that," he says. They come to take her away. When they've gone, leaving him instructions, he pours another whiskey. He carries the glass and bottle through the house, across the patch of grass, towards the studio. The clouds have cleared now and it's a bright day, the first after the long winter. Birds are singing and there is the sound of farm machinery far away. The green hills stretch around the house, towards the village. Once inside, he stops, catching himself in the mirror through the door of the makeshift darkroom. Thinning silver curls, deep lines across his forehead and cheeks. He's almost surprised not to see the outline of a young man with bushy brown hair and sloped shoulders. There's a clutter about this room, the miscellany of objects collected. Battered boots, army issue, never cleaned. The World Press Award, framed and hanging on the wall. He moves away towards his photo board. His favourite images, pinned up over the years. There are many more in the filing cabinets that line the room. The negatives of things he doesn't want to see again, and sees anyway. June's face smiles out at him. She's gone, he tells himself, but the words seem to hold no meaning. He keeps expecting to look up and see her there, a cup of coffee in one hand. The feeling arrives then. A bulge in his throat, a tightness around his eyes, sadness at his loss. Regret that he can never put things right. He always thought there would be more time. It wasn't supposed to happen like this. If the situation were reversed, June would know what to do. She'd call the right people and organise a fitting funeral. He's never been the one in charge of the practicalities of life. There was always a plane to catch, a story to follow, always something more important. When he looks ahead, he sees blackness stretching forward. He can't imagine her not being here. He can't bear the thought of this house with only the past to placate him. All that is left, waiting. He knows he should call his son and tell him his mother is dead. He imagines picking up the receiver, waiting for Ralph's voice on the line. He walks back across the garden. The air is fresh and it has grown dark. In the kitchen window, he thinks he sees June's silhouette in the dimness and feels a searing relief. But when he reaches the kitchen, no one is there.